Ed Ochester recently did an interview for Poetry International. Some of you may have seen it, some of you haven't, with Char de Nord. I wanted to read something Ed said in that interview that really sounds like him, of course. I think that one has to speak out against stupidity. I think that's a long-standing tradition for many poets and many poets I admire. But I also think that we are people living with other people. Human beings are, despite what Ayn Rand says, social animals, and we need compassion for one another. That's Whitman, after all. Stand up for the stupid and the crazy, he said. And I think if there's one moral teaching I can remember, I think it was when I was about 13 or 14, I got on my bike and to the horror of my parents, rode out to Whitman's birthplace on Long Island, and the nice lady who was in charge gave me some pamphlets on Whitman, and that was the phrase that stuck with me, stand up for the stupid and the crazy. In school, I was the butt of jokes and picked on, but not so much that I wasn't able to rescue some people who were much lower in the pecking order than I. That's my idea of religion, I guess. And Jan and I didn't plan to talk about religion because that's not what we would do, but let's talk about it for a second. My mother used to tell me she went to church because it was the only place in her life that was quiet. I go to think, she said, I don't listen to a word they say. Other people, not my mother, go looking for hope maybe, spirituality, for sweetness and peace, grace, forgiveness, for comfort, for wisdom and guidance, truth, acceptance, for righteous wrath and indignation, for a sense of justice in the face of injustice, for the sense that we're all in this mess together, the sense that the world is a complicated place, and understanding that, as E.B. White once said, we're born, we live a little while, we die. When I first met Ed, I was 25 years old. I was a poetry student in Pitt's MFA program. I was, like a lot of other graduate students, unbearable. I was serious. I wore black and sulked. I've improved. Some color. I worked hard to cultivate gravitas. I said things like gravitas. I loved Sexton and Plath. I believed all writers were special and sensitive and tragic. I believed I was special and sensitive and tragic. I studied serious author photos and practiced mugging for cameras. I considered berets. Don't be an asshole. That's the first advice Ed Ochester ever gave me. We were in his office. He was blowing illicit cigarette smoke out of his fifth floor window with a fan. The next lesson he gave me, don't love your own grief too much. And then it was, be kind. And then it was, stand up for the downtrodden. And then, don't judge, but if you must judge, forgive. And then, it's okay to laugh at a funny poem. This from the author of the poem Monroeville, PA, which goes like this. One day, a kid yelled, hey, asshole, and everybody on the street turned around. I used that as my Facebook status the other day. It's very popular. Seriously, Ed told me, just don't be an asshole. Sometimes the lessons came as directives over beer. Always they came through poems. He always passed the lessons on in a way that was loving and joking, but in a way that also let me know that even though I was most definitely an asshole, there was a good chance that, given some time and grace, I, like most people, would grow out of it. I'm finding it difficult to talk about Ed's poems as if the deep humanity in those poems could be separate from the heart of the man who makes them. He is, without a doubt, one of the most exceptional people I've ever met, and I love him very much. And he'd quickly kick my ass for saying all of that. He hates praise. He does not love his own anything too much. And so the poems, and why they are like church, and why they are more spiritual, more true than anything I've ever known. Ed will, of course, hate the church comparison. Churches and religions show up again and again in his poems. The popes and their Rolls Royces, the Shalakta Rural Methodist Church, an alcoholic Buddhist who swears he desires nothing. But stick with me. It's the humor there, I think. In one line, Ed will make me spew coffee out my nose, and in the next line, he'll break my heart. It's the juxtaposition of that. Humor and heartbreak that rings so true to me, to the human condition. It's the way he couples a deep understanding of mortality, of the limits of our lives, with an openness to possibility that those lives will transcend the world and infuse us with a pure spirituality. There's no other word I can find for it. And so I want to read one of Ed's poems that does that for me. In Miracle Mile in Monroeville, PA. Miracle Mile for Jerry Stern. Why weep? I am going to drive past Elby's Big Boy and back. I am going to park beneath the statue of Big Boy with his checkered pants and his greasy cowlick like Reagan's. I'm going to admire his rosy cheeks rounded as buttocks and walk in to order the minced veal parmesan. I am going to eat garlic bread until the rich oil runs down my jowls and wipe my hands on dozens of paper napkins, insubstantial as dreams. I am going to think Café Brûlot as I drink a Coke and tip 10%. It's 20 now. I am going to drive past Kappelman's Discount Clothes, whistling Vivaldi and honk at the girls. I am going to circle Our Lady of Perpetual Misery, lit by floodlights and the crowd queuing up at the Red Lobster to gobble surf and turf, and drive past what may be a rapist, humble as Uriah Heep, leaning against a Honda in the outer dark of the parking lot at Sears. I am going to walk into the Monroeville Mall, where George Romero shot Night of the Living Dead, and admire the heavy ironware and horns, the electric woks and the microwaves, the daisy food strippers, the juice extractors with automatic pulp ejectors, the wherever popcorn poppers, toaster ovens without end, and the kids walking the Walkman around the mall in a paseo and shoplifting small goods, a bra transparent as our prayers, or palming packs of rubbers with a couple on the package silhouetted by the setting sun. I'm going to admire the toucan in the mall's aviary, his beak the shape of a giant Brazil nut, and be fitted for Harris Tweed at Hughes and Hatcher, where the cretinous salesmen blob and slaver over my big roll of bills. I'm going to chuckle at the Basset Hound smoking a pipe in the hush puppy display. She looks like a friend. And I'm going to buy chocolate pretzels at the Bavarian House. I'm going to drive past the Sheraton, more beautiful than any building in Japan. I'm going to follow the rumble and stink of the garbage trucks into the dawn and think of Camus, how he said he knew with a certainty that our work is nothing but the long journey to recover through the detours of art, the two or three simple, great images which first gained access to our hearts. I'd like to end with another quote from an interview that Ed did back in 2003. I got the chance to interview him. We were sitting at a little table outside my apartment. There were birds. We were drinking. Ed was smoking cigars, not cigarettes then. There was a tape recorder between us, and he was talking about grace in the Hemingway sense, grace under pressure, but grace, too, in the spiritual sense, and grace in the face of hopelessness. And here's what he said. It's always seemed to me that grace is the ability to be loving or joking or caring in the face of the knowledge that human beings will die, that we're all lucky to have, or we're all likely to have some big troubles in our lives. Essentially, in the face of that knowledge, to be able to celebrate life. Auden has a line, teach the free men how to praise. And teaching us how to praise is what is good and worthwhile, and it is one of the things that poems do. Even the saddest and most terrible of poems have a quality of celebration in the sense that they refuse to accept the victory of what's evil. Instead, they try to carry on and rebel against it. I think that's the sense that's in many of my poems. I like to think the poems are saying, we don't always have to be sad or sad-assed about our lives. We don't always have to be lifeless, although we sometimes are. And I like to think they accommodate those moments, too. In Beckett, there's that wonderful juxtaposition, I can't carry on, I will carry on. It's something like that. I'm so happy we're here to celebrate Ed and his work, and I'll close with another one of my favorite poems about one of my favorite places in the world, Key West, Florida. And this is a poem called Cooking in Key West. Start with Key West golden shrimp, the color of the gold they found in the sunken treasure ships, the woman behind the counter says, and smiles, lifting her eyes to heaven. And then some finocchio from the waterfront market and some lime juice, a salad of radicchio and watercress, a bottle of pescavino, fish wine in the fish-shaped bottle. I wonder what the poor people are doing, my father would have said. And I don't know, not too many of them at Fort Zack. Fort Zach Taylor Beach this morning, a Cuban family lugging deck chairs rented at $6 per, and a lot of college kids, a middle-aged dyke couple going in and out of the water every few minutes, and some gay guys walking up and down the strand, remarkably tanned and fit, even though the gay culture in Key West has been pretty well decimated by AIDS, and I'm stirring wine into the shrimp and think of Donnie, the kid buried in the family plot in Grafton, Massachusetts, in an unmarked grave because he died of AIDS and hadn't, of course, turned out the way his family wanted. So they put him in the poverty of an unmarked grave, sans shrimp, sans radicchio, sans everything. And of course, I'm crying like a fool by now, honking into my red pocket bandana and pouring more wine, thinking of the family that hated their son so much they lowered his poor body into such a grave. I don't know anything. I'm just learning how to see and to hear. I want to find a way to say and believe, live. Don't be afraid until you have to be. When you're dead, you'll forget everything. Not far from here, Hemingway had a character say, "To me, the visible world is visible." Thanks, Ed.